presenter is Travis Shaddix.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. My name is Travis Shaddix. I'm a soil fertility and turfgrass nutrition specialist at the University of Florida in Fort Lauderdale. This paper is a product of a larger encompassing project that was over many years, over many objectives. This is just one paper of numerous that occurred through a many-year project. First of all, let me thank the authors that did all the work, really. Dr. Unruh, Dr. Trenholm Park, and Dr. Cesar really did a lot of the work on this project, and I came in and put it all together in a paper which will be published in January and February in Crop Science of this year. What is the situation? What are we dealing with? In Florida, we have a recommendation of nitrogen ranges that we recommend for different turfgrass species. In this case, we're talking about Floratam St. Augustine grass. And we base these ranges upon the location that the turf is growing. So North, Central, and South Florida have differing nitrogen ranges. The issue is that these ranges have not necessarily been vetted through the scientific literature. They are based largely upon and well-founded on 20 to 30 years of observational data from various faculty members at the University of Florida. So we feel confident these ranges are sufficient. However, whenever we encounter some of our Florida citizens who may have differing ideas as to what makes sense, they ask the question, okay, why is that number what it is? Well, for example, in North Florida, we have a range of 98 to 196 kilograms per hectare per year. Why is that 98? If we're going to draw the line in the sand and say 98 to 196, we feel confident through observational results from prior research that those numbers are solid, and those are the numbers that are required for adequate turf growth. But we don't necessarily have that printed in the literature. So we developed this project to answer numerous questions, but one of the questions was exactly that. What is the minimum rate of nitrogen needed to maintain an acceptable quality St. Augustine grass turf? So that's the basis of the project. That's kind of how this was developed. The objectives of the project were to determine the minimum amount of N necessary to produce acceptable turf, St. Augustine grass, to determine if nitrogen applied according to our recommended ranges poses significant risk to nitrate leaching, and then to determine if irrigation amounts and frequencies influence that leaching. So, give you an idea of the scale of the project. This was conducted in three locations. Every state has their own environmental dynamics. Ours goes from subtropical to a temperate zone in Jay, and in the middle part of the state in Citrus is was done as well. So we go from, to give you a scale, what we're talking about here, it's about a five-hour drive from Jay to Citrus, and about a five-hour drive from Citrus to Fort Lauderdale. It's quite a long distance that we're dealing with in terms of environmental changes and differences between these locations. The soils differ as well. Jay is much more heavy in terms of, for Florida's purposes at least, it's a heavier soil, and Citrus and Fort Lauderdale are much more sandy. Okay, so the methodology, what do? We apply nitrogen every 60 days in the form of urea, sprayable urea. Essentially, this entire project was done in cycles, 60-day cycles. So in Fort Lauderdale, we don't stop growing grass. It grows nonstop all year long. So there's six 60-day cycles that occurred nonstop annually. In Citrus, during the winter, those two cycles in the winter we didn't do, so there's four cycles during the growing season. And in Jay, there was three cycles that we used that encompassed the growing season for Jay. It was a split plot design. Whole and subplots were randomized complete block designs with four applications. And the variables we looked at were turf quality that were measured every other week, and they were pooled together by cycle with on a 1-9 scale, with 6 being the minimum acceptable turf grass. Nitrate leaching was collected weekly and pooled by cycle. And in Jay, an application of ethyl fumacate was applied in May, which will become important as we look at the results. May of 2007. The treatments were this. We had the whole plots were irrigation in Fort Lauderdale. We actually had an irrigation regime that applied two different quantities of nitrogen. The 2.5 millimeters daily, or the 13 millimeters three times a week, actually, or different quantities. But in Citra and Jay, the irrigation regimes applied the same quantity, just applied in a different regime. The subplots were the nitrogen rates, and these nitrogen rates were based upon the existing recommendation rates, as well as one below the rate and one above the highest rate. A little bit about what it looked like out in the field. These are the augers that we used to insert lysimeters. We inserted lysimeters into each plot. The size of the lysimeters, you can see here, scale is about around one meter deep and about a half a meter in diameter is the size of the lysimeters we're dealing with. These all were buried in the soil, and then the drainage line ran subsurface and then came above ground to a collection terminal that you see here, where the volumes were measured and subsamples were collected and acidified and frozen and then sent off to the lab for analysis of nitrate and nitrite. The statistical models that we used were GLM. The leachate data were non-normal, so we transformed them on a log scale. The data that you'll see will be the means, but the separations that you see will be on a log scale. The turf quality data were normal. We used Dunnett's LSD, so we'll only be comparing the treatments to the control, which in this case is the lowest nitrogen rate. And then we did regression of the N rate and turf quality to get an idea of the minimum necessary for acceptable turf. Okay, so into the data, the NOVA table will kind of work from the bottom up. We have no three-way interactions. The only two-way interaction we had was in J for both nitrate leaching and turf quality, the year times nitrogen rate interaction. So we'll be looking at the data in J in separate years. So we'll be looking at the data separately among years. The regression of turf quality will be done. How do I move the mouse? How do I move it on this? This? Okay, the regression of turf quality in Fort Lauderdale was on a linear scale. And, whoop, this isn't working. The regression in J was on a linear scale. In Citra, we found that it was on quadratic, and then in J, it was on linear. So we're looking at the regression based upon those data in terms of linear or quadratic. The only issue we had with irrigation was we didn't have any irrigation effect on in Citra or J, but in Fort Lauderdale we did, and so that's the basic. The only result we have from irrigation is that in the location where we applied different quantities, the higher quantity irrigation obviously leached more. Where we didn't apply different quantities, the irrigations were the same in Citra and in J. Okay, so Fort Lauderdale and Citra, the turf quality and nitrate leaching results. So the regression, what we did was we regressed on the Y scale, you'll see turf quality. On the X scale, you'll see nitrogen in kilograms per hectare per year. This little rectangle is the recommended range of that we currently have in a BMP. And so when we regressed it in Fort Lauderdale, we see that the regression indicates that a rate less than our recommended rate would produce acceptable turf. Okay. Now, the caveat to that is we only have one recommended rate for the entire year. We don't have rates that change throughout the year. So our thought process was if that's the rate, then it needs to maintain turf quality for every cycle that we measured throughout the year, particularly in Fort Lauderdale where the turf grows nonstop all year long. So although the regression rate that we see on this is less, and the next slide I'll discuss a little bit further as to the implications on how that was impacted per cycle. In Citra, we actually found that the rate we needed was higher than the minimum rate that we're recommending. Okay, so we're in the range of our recommended ranges in Citra. We're in that box, but that minimum, which in Citra is 98, that minimum, in our opinion, should produce acceptable turf. And in Citra, it did not. So the lowest recommended range in Citra is not producing acceptable turf grass, which is a concern, obviously, from our perspective, because we're recommending these ranges. And so for turf managers that are following our recommendations, It's possible that in this location they may not necessarily produce acceptable turf if they use the minimum rate. That ended up actually being 165 kilograms, where the recommended rate is 98. Okay, so in Fort Lauderdale, we see in cycle 2 and cycle 3, what we have here is turf quality on the Y scale, and on the X axis we have the cycles. And in Fort Lauderdale, we see that the lowest recommended range, which is what the regression predicted, is not producing acceptable turf in 2 out of the 6 cycles. Okay, so due to that, and due to our limitations, where we only have one recommendation for the entire year, we feel that the 196 range is probably where we'll stay in terms of our recommendations, because it did produce acceptable turf in every cycle of the year. Okay, Fort Lauderdale nitrate leaching. In the cycles 1 and 2, we see that the 588 kilogram per hectare rate, it was higher than the others. But within our ranges, in other words, the minimum necessary to produce acceptable turf was 196, and the highest recommended rate is 294. There was no differences in leaching. So we're applying the minimum we need. We can the highest rate that we recommend also won't produce any additional nitrate leaching. But if you exceed that, clearly these results indicate that it could pose a risk. The Citra nitrate leach, a similar result to some degree. We didn't really see a whole lot happen in the first two or three cycles, but in the fourth cycle, again, when we exceed that recommended range, in this case 490 kilograms per hectare, we see the nitrate begin to come through the leachate. So we feel confident within our ranges that nutrient leach or nitrate leaching is not necessarily a major concern, as long as you stay within those ranges and follow the BMP. When you start exceeding it, it's an issue on healthy turf. The reason I say healthy turf is because the results from J differ. The results from J here indicate that in 2006, we actually didn't need the Y. It actually crosses the y-intercept at zero, so we didn't actually need nitrogen to produce acceptable turf in J. But in 2007, we needed more than the minimum, and the reason for that is we see this reduction in quality. So throughout the year, cycle 1, 2, and 3 in 2006, we see everything's more or less fine. But in 2007, the first cycle, we see this dramatic reduction in quality, and it didn't really recover until the third cycle. So why is that? And remember when I mentioned at the very beginning, we applied ethyl fumacate in May of the second year, and that application led to a reduction in quality, which then led to an increase in nitrate leaching. So we just happened to be doing a research with lysimeters in the ground at the same time this occurred, and we saw the secondary impact of a herbicide burn, essentially, on nitrate leaching. So this was really a serendipitous result that occurred just because we happened to be having leachate collected at the same time. So we sometimes when you make mistakes with the ethyl fumacate or other products, sometimes it ends up being a good thing in terms of science. We can ask more questions. So the conclusions, the minimum in required in Fort Lauderdale is 196, which was what we recommend. In Citra, it was a little bit higher, and in Jay, it was a little bit lower. So there are differences in these areas between the locations. The nitrate leached was increased only when N rates exceeded the recommendations and when turf was stressed from a herbicide application. And then stressed turf may result in reduced quality, leading to increased nitrate leaching. So this was actually a result that was published in a Trenholm 2012 paper, but it was the opposite. They had a fungus outbreak where they applied a fungicide, and that application of fungicide actually reduced nitrate leaching, increased the turf quality and reduced nitrate leaching. In this case, the application of a herbicide actually reduced quality and increased nitrate leaching. So this dynamic is something that we're going to continue to look in further, particularly in the realm of pre-emergent herbicides. Well, obviously the application of nutrients contain many times a pre-emergent, they're sparged on the fertilizer, a pre-emergent herbicide. I'm not exactly sure how that dynamic works. But with these results, I think it indicates that the need to look into that a little bit further. How do those herbicides, we know how they impact the turf, but how does it impact the nutrient leaching, sort of a secondary effect? That's kind of where our program is going. So that's it. With anything, with that, I'll entertain any questions.
I think we're going to hold questions until the end.
Okay, no problem. All right, thank you.